Today's digest for June 14th, 2026. 9 stories today, covering AI export controls, security deadlines, and developer tooling. We lead with the U.S. government's order pulling Anthropic's newest models out of foreign hands, the reported trigger behind it, fresh scrutiny on OpenAI, and a few changes for the people who actually build software. Here's the rundown. We open with a big one. Late last week, the U.S. Department of Commerce issued an export control directive ordering Anthropic to cut off access to its Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models for all foreign nationals, including non-citizen employees working inside the United States. Because the company cannot verify citizenship at scale, the practical result was a near-total shutdown rather than a targeted fix. The administration calls it a safety problem the company refused to fix, pointing to a jailbreak that bypasses the model's safeguards. Anthropic counters that the weakness is narrow, already present in competing systems like GPT 5.5, and exactly the kind of issue layered defenses are built to absorb. Critics across the industry call the move legally shaky and economically self-defeating, warning it could push foreign talent out of American labs and trigger copycat rules worldwide. So how did this happen? Reporting now points to Amazon. Chief Executive Andy Jassy reportedly told Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and other officials that Amazon's own researchers had found vulnerabilities in Claude Fable 5 that could be used in cyber attacks. David Sachs, the administration's former AI lead, says a trusted partner presented evidence of a jailbreak and that Anthropic chief Dario Amodei declined to either fix it or pull the model. The detail is awkward because Amazon is one of Anthropic's largest investors and AWS itself reported disruptions once the restrictions took hold. Amazon declined to discuss its conversations with the government. Anthropic's response stayed consistent with its public line that the capabilities in question are already reachable through other widely available models, so singling out one company does little for real safety. Anthropic is not the only lab under the microscope. A coalition of state attorneys general has opened an investigation into OpenAI, with New York in the lead. A subpoena served Friday demands documents on the company's advertising practices, its user engagement tactics, model behavior, the handling of consumer and health data, and its treatment of minors and seniors. This follows a June lawsuit from Florida alleging the company ignored safety warnings and endangered children, and it sits alongside ongoing copyright cases and litigation over ChatGPT's alleged role in suicides. OpenAI says it will engage constructively, pointing to new age prediction tools and parental controls. The timing is striking. The company recently filed confidentially for an initial public offering, even as it keeps defending against co-founder Elon Musk's breach of contract appeal. Next up, a cautionary tale about letting a model tell its own story. The consulting firm KPMG has withdrawn an October 2025 report on agentic AI after the research group GPT-0 flagged inaccuracies traced to hallucinations. 4 named organizations, including UBS, the UK's National Health Service, Swiss Federal Railways, and Transport for London, told the Financial Times that claims about their use of the technology were untrue or misleading. The report appears to have been written in part by the models, without enough human checking of its sources and facts. A KPMG spokesperson acknowledged the lapse and pointed back to the firm's own guidelines on responsible use and human oversight. It echoes a recent EY episode involving fabricated footnotes, and it lands with extra irony. These are firms using the technology to write about it, then watching the credibility evaporate. Moving to the geopolitics of AI deals, Meta has begun unwinding its $2 billion acquisition of the startup Manius after Beijing issued a divestiture order roughly 2 months ago on national security grounds. Meta has operationally separated from the startup and halted data sharing, cutting Manius off from its internal systems. Manius was co-founded in China, relocated its team to Singapore in mid-2025, and announced the Meta deal in December. But its parent company, Butterfly Effect, drew regulatory scrutiny on both sides of the Pacific. U.S. Senator John Cornyn had questioned whether American capital should be backing Chinese-linked firms at all. Now the founders are reportedly seeking about $1 billion from outside investors to reclaim the company, possibly through a Hong Kong listing, while early backers like Benchmark have already taken their payouts. On to security, where a federal deadline just landed today. The U.S. Cybersecurity Agency, CISA, ordered every civilian federal agency to patch a maximum severity flaw in Avanti Sentry within 3 calendar days, with the clock running out this Sunday, June 14th. The bug is an operating system command injection carrying a perfect severity score of 10. On certain exposed configurations, it lets a remote, unauthenticated attacker run code as root, and it was already being exploited in the wild before the order went out. What makes this notable is the process. It is the first real-world use of a new federal directive issued just a couple of days earlier, one that replaces fixed patch timelines with a dynamic risk clock and offers no grace period. Agencies that miss the window have to file a formal exception. Staying with the supply chain but closer to the developer's desk, the next major release of the JavaScript Package Manager, NPM version 12 expected in July, will stop running install scripts automatically. Today, when you run an install, a dependency can run pre-install, install, and post-install scripts on your machine without asking. Version 12 flips that to off by default, so those scripts, along with native build steps and prepare scripts from Git and local dependencies, only run if you explicitly approve them. The motivation is a brutal year of attacks, including the self-replicating shy-hulud worm that abused this automatic execution to infect thousands of developers. The migration path is straightforward. Upgrade to a recent 11-point release, run a normal install, review the warnings, approve the packages you trust, and commit the result. It is a long overdue default. Two notes for builders to close the show. The first is a useful reality check on large context windows. Those headline numbers, 200,000 tokens, 1 million, even 2 million are mostly marketing. In practice, models have a reliable zone that tends to plateau around 100,000 tokens, and past that, attention thins out and the model starts forgetting what it was told. Research efforts like Ruler and Chroma's context rot studies show effective context is only a fraction of the advertised limit, and coding agents hit this fast, because file reads and debugging burn tokens quickly. The practical advice is to treat your context window as a fixed budget, rather than leaning on automatic summaries, which only kick in after quality has already slipped. Write small, named artifacts, specs, plans, and notes, and carry those between sessions to keep each one sharp. And finally, a small but real win for Python in the browser. A new release of PyoDide now lets developers publish packages compiled for WebAssembly straight to the Python package index, the same way they already ship builds for Windows, macOS, and Linux. Until now, getting a package into browser-based Python meant waiting for the PyoDide maintainers to build and host it by hand. Simon Willison put the change through its paces by publishing a tiny package that brings the Luau programming language into browser Python, weighing in at just 276 kilobytes. Adoption is already underway, with more than two dozen packages, including Unix, Pydantic Core, and Typest, now shipping WebAssembly builds. It removes a long-standing bottleneck and quietly widens what you can run entirely in the browser. That wraps today's digest for June 14th. A heavy stretch for AI policy, a sharp deadline for the defenders, and a couple of quiet wins for the people who actually build the tools. Thanks for spending part of your day here. Take care of yourselves, and I will catch you in the next one.